And I think survival instinct is something that's incredible when it comes to how people have to continue. It's like war puts your life on hold, but your life must go on. And I think it's incredible to see how people have simply adjusted. I'm Stephanie Decker, senior correspondent with Al Jazeera and Between Us. It's very difficult not to be moved by the communal strength and unity of the Ukrainian people. When it comes to constant heaven bombardment and people seek shelter in basements or simply in their apartments, but you know, there's no water, there's no food, there's no electricity, it's incredibly cold. So for the people who don't have a choice, they simply have to continue living. One man told me in Odessa, he says, you know, our lives have stopped. It's all become about war now and how we support our front line, how we support our soldiers.
We are in front of the iconic Odessa Opera House, waiting to go live. You can see the sandbags. The whole downtown area has been heavily fortified.
Probably around half of the population of Odessa has stayed. They call it the jewel of the Black Sea, which is Ukraine's biggest port.
Do you think they will come to Odessa?
For what? To die? How is it to come here? How is it?
Men, of course, between the fighting ages of 18 to 60 cannot leave. So A, you see a lot of single men left, but also you see families and you see women. One lady we spoke to, she was 88 years old. She was extraordinary and really stuck with our entire team, Tamara. Russian-born, moved to Odessa in 1958. She had an incredible spirit. When we entered her flat, she gave me this massive warm hug, like a proper grandmother's hug. And immediately there was this very natural warmth about her. Her resolve, I think, was incredible. I think she does sort of encapsulate the spirit of the city and of the people there. So we decided on our trip out of Odessa to detour.
We've been driving for 2 days now. We are heading somewhere in the mountains.
A lot of the internally displaced, the media covered them going to Lviv in the west and then on to Poland, Romania, Hungary, other countries. And then actually our fixer, who's from the area of Transcarpathia, started telling me this is where most people are. When we got there, we had to sleep 2 hours out of the city of Uzhgorod because everything was full. Hotels, hostels, apartments, you couldn't find anything because these are the internally displaced who could afford to rent and to stay for, you know, the next foreseeable couple of weeks because they don't want to leave the country, but they want to get as far away from the war as possible, but they want to go back home.
Well, this hall tells the story of the entirety of this war, really. People are from everywhere, from Mariupol, from Kharkiv, from Donetsk, from Luhansk, from areas around the capital like Bucha and Irpin.
You know, with war, it's always a danger when you start to lose humanity. So there are accusations of war crimes that the Russians did against civilians. And I spoke to my colleagues who are in Kyiv and who had just come back from Bucha. I got a lot of pictures sent to me that aren't right for air, basically, because they're simply too graphic. What is this all for? Why are civilians being treated like this? There will be an investigation, but I think as many times in war, there is often no accountability for things like this. But there is a lot of resilience. I think Kherson is a great example of the bigger picture. If the Russians were to long-term stay in the areas they hold, it's going to be a real challenge to win over the people.